Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And Father, today I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for all that you've done for us. I ask now, Father, your blessing and your anointing upon the word today as it goes forth. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Today's message is titled, Taking Back Authority. And I think it's something that the church has lost, is authority. We want to go back into the scripture here and looking at some things that we find in the Gospel of Luke. Now, these are also found in some of the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark. But it's particularly given in Luke here. And in Luke chapter 7, and today we're reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says this in verse 1, "And when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion slave who was highly valued by him was sick and about to die. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his slave. And when they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, 'He is worthy for you to grant this, because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue.'" So I want to stop there for just a moment. Here's a centurion, a ranking officer in the Roman army that occupies Jerusalem and Israel. And this man has heard about Jesus. He's heard about the work that Jesus has done. He's heard about the healings. He's heard about the deliverances. He's heard about the miracles that have been wrought through the hands of Jesus. And he's got a slave or a servant that's highly regarded by him, valued to him. He's about to die. He says, "I believe this Jesus can bring healing into my servant's life." And so he went to some of the elders of the Jews and asked them to go request Jesus to heal or save the life of his servant. And they told Jesus, "Look, this guy may be a member of the Roman army. He may be, in essence, reality, maybe we might even want to call the enemy. But he loves our nation. He loves our people. He's even built a synagogue for us. He's done things for us." And I think as Christians, sometimes we look back and we read back into the time of the biblical time where Jesus lived. And we think about the Romans, and we think about them as a bunch of mean, evil people. But a lot of the Roman soldiers were just ordinary people like you and I. I mean, you know, they were doing a job that they were told to do. And maybe in many times they didn't necessarily agree with what they had to do, but they did their job. But this man had shown sympathy. He had shown a desire to help the people and had shown really love toward the people of Israel. So in verse 6 we pick it up. "And Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof.'" I want you to think about that for a moment. Here's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he's telling Jesus, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy of this." And it goes on in verse 7, "And that is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be cured. Jesus, all you've got to do is speak the word, and my servant's going to be healed. He's going to be restored. He's going to be delivered from this sickness. And he goes on in verse 8 and says, "For I too am a man under authority, or placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." And we can kind of bring that up to today's age and relate it possibly to not only the military, but to our own lives as we work at various jobs and the things that we have to do. And if you're working at a job, unless you're the owner of the company, you're taking orders from somebody. Somebody is telling you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it to some extent. You know, when you go to work every day, your boss, whatever it may be, whatever that boss may be, will give you instructions of some sort. And we do what the boss says. If we don't do what the boss says, well, there's generally consequences if we don't do what the boss says. And he's saying here, Jesus, I recognize authority. I am a man of authority. I can say, do this, and they will do it. I can say, go there, and they will go there. Whatever. I recognize authority. And Jesus, I recognize that you have authority. That you have authority over sickness. That you have authority over all of these other things here. You've got authority over devils. You've got authority over blameness. You've got authority over blindness. You've got authority over all these things. And all you've got to do is speak the word, Jesus. In verse 9, Jesus heard this and was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found so great a faith, even in Israel." That's a little bit stinging there, because the Jews are the ones who are expecting a Messiah. The Jews are the ones who are waiting for a Messiah. And yet it took a Roman centurion to say, "Jesus, I recognize your authority. Whatever you say, it will be done." Oh, wow. Verse 10, "And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health." Jesus didn't have to go lay hands on him. Jesus didn't have to stand in front of him. Jesus didn't have to even, really, doesn't even say here that he said anything, other than, "I've not found so great a faith, even in Israel." And bam, the servant was healed. Well, we go on down to verse 11, because Jesus continues on, and it says, "Soon afterwards he was on his way to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd were traveling with him." Now, if there's authority being displayed, if there's something taking place, you find a crowd. I remember back to the mid-20th century, the mid-1900s, when we'd have great healing revivals and large crowds would come out to see what was going on, to witness the power of God being made manifest. Souls were saved, people were delivered, they were healed. And here Jesus has got a crowd that's following with him. And it says, "Just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out." You know, it's kind of like the funeral procession that we have today. And I know it doesn't take place in all parts of the country or all parts of the world, but I know here in the South, where I live, it's been a thing as long as I can remember back to when I was a little kid, that when a funeral procession was going down the road, people pulled over to the side and showed respect to that one that had passed on and to the family of the one who had passed on. And so I kind of imagine they all stopped. Here's a funeral procession. And it says, as we continue on in verse 12, he was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. He's left alone. A large crowd from the city was also with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And you know, sometimes I think that's one of the things that we may have lacking today in our world is compassion. Do we feel the pain? Do we feel the sorrow? Do we feel the grief that our friends, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the Lord are going through sometimes? The other night, I got a message that a lady that I've known since she was a young girl had suddenly passed away. And as I was reading the message to my wife, I began to choke up because I was feeling compassion for the family. I was feeling sorrow for the family. I was feeling sorrow even in my own life at the loss of someone I had known for so many years. So I had compassion on her and he said, "Don't cry." And then he came up and touched the open coffin. And the pallbearer stopped. And he said, "Young man, I tell you to get up." That's putting it pretty blunt, isn't it? He didn't go up and go through a long rigmarole or anything, wave a magic wand, do the hokey pokey. He went up and simply said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." And it says, the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Oh, I can just imagine the excitement and the rejoicing and the things that were taking place when this young man sat up in the coffin and began to speak. It reminds me also of when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for 3 days, and simply said, "Lazarus, come forth. Now get that stone out of the way so he can get out of there." Oh, the authority that took place there in the name of Jesus. Jesus had authority over death. He had authority over all manner of things, because it says in verse 21 of Luke chapter 7, "At that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits. He granted sight to many blind people. He replied to them, 'Go and report to John the things that you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news.'" Authority. In those first few verses we read, he had an explanation of authority. Then we just talked about authority over death. We talked about authority over all manner of things. We continue on to the next chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 8, and we find that he has authority over nature. Because in verse 22 of Luke chapter 8, it says, "One day he and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.' So they set out. And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger." Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a good swimmer. And I would get extremely nervous out in a boat on a lake in a storm because I can't swim good. And I for sure don't want to drown. So I can imagine these disciples, and I'm sure they knew how to swim. But they're, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, we're going to die," it says in verse 24. "Master, Master, wake up. There's a storm. The boat's about to sink. We're going to die. You got to do something, Jesus." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And so they ceased, and there was calm. I've probably mentioned this before in some of my other messages, but living in the South, one of the things we have that I don't like is tornadoes. Now, prior to living here, I lived in Southern California, and I lived in an area that had high winds at certain times of the year, winds getting up to 100 plus miles an hour on occasion, hurricane force winds. And I tell you, it was very nerve-wracking at many times living there. And there's a lot of times I had to stand and pray as I was watching the very glass and the windows moving back and forth, actually bending to some extent. Makes you nervous. And I've witnessed tornadoes here where we live now. And many times, if there's a storm like that coming and it's in the area, I have found myself walking out onto the deck of our house, out onto the back porch, as they would call it here in the South, stretching out my hands and praying and uttering the words, "Peace, be still." And God has granted my prayer. And we've had very little damage over the time that we've lived here. I had a friend who went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, but he lived not too far from where I lived in Southern California. And after we moved here, there was a big fire in the mountains in the area where he lived, came down into the city where he lived. The area, the street that he lived on, every house burnt to the ground, with one exception, his house. And he had gone out alongside the house and looked toward the fire and rebuked the fire in the name of Jesus. My understanding, the only damage he had to his house was a small burn mark in his carpet where a cinder got into the house. But that's all it made, was a small burn mark. Peace, be still. Authority over nature. It goes on in chapter 8, verse 26, talks about where Jesus had authority over demons, and it tells the story here as they've gone on across the lake and they've gone to the region of the Gadarenes, or Gerasenes as it's called some places in the scripture there, which is opposite Galilee. And it says in verse 27, when he got out on land, a demon-possessed man from the town met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes and did not stay in a house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and said in a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus? You Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and even though guarded, he was bound by chains and shackles, he would snap the restraints and be driven by the demon into deserted places. "What is your name?" Jesus asked him. "Legion," he said, "because many demons had entered into him. That's thousands of demons. Many are familiar with the story. They begged Jesus not to banish them into the abyss. And instead, they were allowed to enter into a herd of pigs that was feeding nearby on the hillside. And sometimes I think the pigs were smarter than the people, because the demons came out of the man and they entered into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. Jesus had authority over demons. The thing is, we need a personal relationship with the giver of authority. Because in Luke chapter 9, then, in verse 1, it says this: summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons, and power to heal diseases. But we're also told to watch out if we don't have that relationship, because in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, it says this: then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." They didn't know who Jesus was, other than Paul preached in the name of Jesus. Paul commanded demons to come out in the name of Jesus. Paul spoke healing over people in the name of Jesus. So they're saying, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, we don't know, really know who this Jesus is. We don't have a relationship with, but we're going to use his name. If you go ahead and read the rest of that story there in Acts chapter 19, the demons came out of the man, okay, and they beat him up. The demons beat up the exorcists. Sometimes I wonder about some of these exorcists that are going around today doing some stuff that they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The early church had power and authority. All you've got to do is sit down and read the scripture, and you find the power and the authority that the early church had. And we've seen manifestations throughout the centuries when the church has manifested the authority that God has given us access to. And some of us have even witnessed in our own lives such manifestations of healing. I know I've told before of when I was about 6 years old and I was dying a slow death because I was vomiting up all my food. And this was before they started doing intravenous feeding. And I was at home, wasting away. And my mom had a little lady from the church come out on a Saturday afternoon and pray for me. And I want you to know, folks, she had a relationship with Jesus Christ. She had a relationship with the giver of authority. And she prayed over me, and I was healed. Yes, it took a little time for me to be restored to strength, but the vomiting began to cease. In fact, the only time I remember vomiting after that was the next morning, on Monday morning. And I vomited up the cause of my problem. Authority. If we are believers, we have been given the access to authority. But so much of the church today doesn't realize that we have authority. We don't exercise authority. We sit back and say, well, somebody else can do it if it's even going to be done at all. And there are some that teach that all of this went away. It ended when John the Revelator died, somewhere around the early part of the second century, that we don't have that authority anymore. It was only given to the apostles. But that's not what it says. Because Jesus, just before he ascended back into the heavens, spoke these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, or you shall receive power of the Holy Ghost when he shall come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. There's the key word there. Ye shall receive power. And what is power? Power is authority. If someone has authority over you, they have power over you. And Jesus spoke the words to those that were gathered there, ye shall receive power. And I want you to look at what occurred in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, because it talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read verses 1 through 4, but this time I want to read out of the complete Jewish Bible. For the festival of Shavuot, as some pronounce that Shavuot, arrived, and believers all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which separated and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. He has said and demonstrated here that there was power, there was authority, and it was given to believers. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you have at your fingertips the power and the authority that God has told you that you as a child of God can have. We're lacking today, folks. We're sorely lacking. I sat in church services. I watch church services on television. And so many times I see people that become involved in the service to an extent, but it's only to an extent. We're all to have power, not just the preacher, not just the deacons, not just a few, but we're all given access to that authority and that power. I long to see an outpouring of the power of God like I've witnessed a few years back. A power where you could feel the move of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit so real in your life that you just almost didn't know what to do. And sometimes when the power of God's present like that, all you can do is just stand there and bask in it. And other times you can turn around and you can cast out devils and you can heal the sick. The power is there. We are just not making ourselves available to it. Oh, we need to get that restoration. We need to take back the authority that God has given us. We today, my friend, have been robbed of the authority. It's time to take it back. It's time to reclaim the authority that God told us that we have through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We need that authority in today's world. I've read a couple of times recently and heard of, and I'm sure some of you have as well, it's been on the news in some cases, of people being robbed, people being kidnapped, various things. And they look at that person and begin to talk to them about Jesus and begin to pray in the name of Jesus. And the person either leaves and lets them go or repents and lets them call the cops. It's happened, folks. We can take back that authority. And as a Christian today, as a child of God today, we need that authority operating in our life. I've told you, it's a relationship situation, though. We cannot have that authority without a relationship with the giver of authority. Too many times we're wrapped up in religion or in the name of the denomination that our church belongs to. Jesus didn't establish a denomination. He'd established a group of believers who had a relationship with Him. And that's what it still is. It's a relationship. And if you're by chance listening to me today and you've not got a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, I invite you to do so today. And it's so very simple. Just simply ask Him to come into your heart, that you realize you're a sinner, to cleanse you of your sin, and give you that relationship with Him. He'll do so if you ask Him to. And maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart, but just things are not going right, and you don't have that authority, and you're beat down. It's time to ask Jesus to restore that relationship, to close up that relationship, to bring you back tight in that relationship, and let you have the authority that He has promised you. Won't you do it today? Our Father today, in the mighty name of Jesus, who told us that we can have authority, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we can do these things through the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I come before You today. I ask You to touch hearts and lives that have listened to me today as I've delivered this message, that You will touch lives wherever they may be, wherever this message may be heard. Father, speak to hearts and lives today, in Jesus' name. And if you've been touched by today's message, would you just let us know? You can go to the Contact Us page on the internet. You can email us. The announcer is going to give our email address. He's going to give our mailing address at the end today. Just let us know. And when you contact us, if you would, just let us know the name of the broadcast that you listened to. Sometimes it helps to know which message it was that touched your heart and life. Well, may Yahweh bless and protect you. May Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh look with favor on you and give you peace.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.